Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
Every area of who we are, and I think a question that's often not an easy question to answer exactly. I know many times we feel like that God's will for a Christian is simply coming to church. But I assure you there's much more to God's will for every one of our individual lives than simply that. So I'd like you to turn to a blank page in your Bible, if you have one left. And I'd like you to put, how do you know the will of God? And I want to go through some practical kind of things. Not theological, practical. And then at the end of our time together, I want to share with you about a personal struggle that I've been in for several years now about God's will for my life. How do you know God's will? I think so often we talk about theologies. We talk about systems of thought. I'm not going to exegete a passage today because I don't know of any passage, one single passage to go to that answers the question, how do you know the will of God? You can't say turn to Psalm so-and-so or chapter so-and-so or book so-and-so. It's really a general kind of thing through the entire Bible. So, instead of an exegesis this morning, I want to do a very practical orientation with you. I think all too often we come to church and we know the answer to how we believe about predestination or the security of the believer. We're all loaded up here with doctrinal things. But how do we walk the streets of Lubbock Monday, Tuesday, Friday afternoon, Saturday morning? Sometimes it's very hard to get from the up here to the down here. And today I want to deal with the down here. I want to give some practical guidelines on how does one know the will of God for his or her life. A lot that I'll be saying comes from this little book right here. I have found that there are some godly men who have written some wonderful helps. A lot of my life has been extremely blessed by the writings of Christian men. This little booklet costs 35 cents. If you buy 3,000, Winston will give you one free at the Baptist bookstore. It looks so little and so insignificant, but of all the books I've ever read on God's will, this is the one that helps me the most. I've put about 200 copies down here. For any of you who may be going through a struggle on how do you know God's will about anything, I invite you to come at the end and take one of these books. So what I'm saying is not unique to me, but it has been extremely meaningful in my own life as I have struggled with the will of God. Let's say a couple of things about the will of God, okay? What kind of prerequisites? Is there any prerequisite for knowing the will of God? I think there is. I remember in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you?" And then again he said, "All who call me Lord, Lord shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father on that day I will say to him." They will say, "Lord, Lord," and he'll say, "I never knew you. We preached in your name and cast out demons and did all kinds of works in your name." And Jesus says, "Depart from me, you accursed, for I never knew you." Now, they were doing all kind of church things, but they didn't know God. And in John 6:29, the Bible is very clear when it says, "The will of God is that you believe on him who he has sent." John 6:29. It's impossible to know the will of God without being a child of God. What the person who does not know Jesus Christ needs is not the will of God as far as how to live, but the will of God as far as who is Jesus Christ and how can I be related to God through him. So the first prerequisite of knowing the will of God is you've got to be a Christian. You've got to be a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The second prerequisite is, I was talking to the kids a minute ago, most of God's will for our life, we already know. You see, the Bible contains the will of God for us, and the Bible has clarified many areas for us. It is never in the will of God to lie. Never. You say, but what if? It is never in the will of God to lie. Don't go praying to God about what if in an area where God has said the liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You know, it's ridiculous to say, "Oh, I've met this wonderful person and they're so tremendous and void, God, I just know it's your will," but they're not a Christian. Don't ever ask God if it's his will for a believer to marry a non-believer. It is never in the will of God for a child of God to marry someone who does not know Jesus Christ by faith. Never in the will of God. You say, but that's settled. Praying to God about things that have already been dealt with in the book will not come to fruition. There are some things that are already settled. Matter of fact, most that we need to know, we already have. Reminds me of a story. I was down at First Methodist Church during Holy Week. They weren't really used to my humor. So, after I tell this, even if you don't like it, smile at me politely. The story of the two ladies who were sitting in church, and one lady was a lady who loved to praise the Lord. She was an amen, hallelujah, come on, you know, kind of person. I like that. I really do. That's encouraging to me when it comes in the right place. It always bothers me when I say something negative, but they say, amen. Makes you wonder, they really listening to you, you know? But this lady was one of those, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So the other lady with the preacher and said, you know, preacher, said, I sit by so-and-so, and she's always praised the Lord. Said, I can't hear the sermon for nothing. The very wise preacher said, that's okay. What you do hear, you don't do. Oh. Piercing comment. See, we want to know God's will. 5 years, 10 years, we want the blueprint, want a contract to sign. God don't give us that. Remind me of the parable of the talents. Jesus told a parable about a landowner who gave three servants so much responsibility and said, I'll be gone a while, I'll be back. When I get back, I'm going to check and see what you've done. Two of them did something profitable with what the master had left. One of them just buried it, didn't do anything. Until you're faithful with what you know the will of God is, don't be expecting God to show you more of His will when you can't even handle what you already know. Example. I think we all know it's the will of God for each one of us to share our faith with our friends and neighbors. I think we all know it's the will of God that we should pray. I think we all know it's the will of God that we should read the Bible. I think we all know it's the will of God that we should love one another. Don't go asking God about all kinds of things if you haven't even been willing to do those things you do know. And I guess the starting place when it comes to obey what you already know and be a Christian is really this whole thing is put together by the passage that Vernon read on, lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think God does have a specific plan for each one of our lives. And I think it's His will that we know what our part in the church is. I think it's important that each one of us realize that we are uniquely equipped to do God's will. One reason you have to be a believer to know God's will is that God doesn't give spiritual gifts except to His children. And we're not equipped to do something in the church or in the kingdom of God until we trust Him by faith. And therefore, the question of, does God really have a plan for my life, is important. I think He does. There's a specific place for me and a specific place for you. That's why, over and over again, I preach on the fact of every member minister. I don't feel like that I'm a minister and you're a spectator. I feel like that each one of us has been uniquely equipped to do the will of God in some area. Now, just because yours is not behind a pulpit doesn't make yours any less spiritual or any less significant or any different. As a matter of fact, I feel no difference between my spiritual gift and your spiritual gift. The distinction between clergy and laity is not a biblical distinction. We are the family of God, the body of Christ, and we must function together. So there is a specific will for each one of us. And it's knowing where we fit in that that gives the great peace. I think before we go praying for God's will, we must be willing to say, I will, or yes, before we ask Him to show it to us. How many of us have an attitude like this? Now, God, if you'll show me exactly what you want me to do, I'll decide. Zero. No, we must decide first that the best thing in life is to do the will of God. That's the best thing. And that He will show it to us. He's not reluctant. He's not saying, try to find out. You know, He's willing and ready to show it to us. Let me ask you a question. Most people I've talked to have a concept of God that is absolutely devastating. They think along these lines. if I give my life to God, He'll make me do the very thing that I hate to do. If I give my life to God, He'll send me to Antarctica to preach to penguins. If I say yes to God, He'll make me do the very thing I'm really afraid of. He'll say, I got you now. What a concept of a heavenly Father that loves you is that He's going to put the bite on you the minute you say yes. There's a beautiful illustration in this book. He says, I have two children. He names them. And he says, if your children came to you and said, oh, Mother and Dad, we know that you love us. And more than anything, we want to do what's pleasing to you and let you help us. Would you say to them, I got you now. I'm going to make you eat carrots every day. And, you have to come in and go right to bed. Is that what we'd do? Why do we think God is so much more evil than we are? I want to tell you, God's not the kind of thing. You know, we think that if it feels good, God doesn't like it. If we're doing something we like, God said, oh, stop that. How dare you enjoy life? We've got a picture of God as a gigantic Scrooge that anything we like, He says no. Now, isn't that right? God wants the very best for your life. It may seem the very thing you're afraid of. I remember when I started to preach, I was terrified of crowds. I was afraid to speak in front of people. But I knew it was God's will for my life that I be a preacher. And therefore, even though it was the thing that I feared, it has become the greatest joy of my life. And I want to tell you, if you put your hands in God's hands, you'll have nothing but the very best that God can possibly give for you and for Him. So I think we need to correct something about our view of God, and we need to say unequivocally, Lord, I want your will, whatever it is, and if you'll show me where I can understand, I'll do it. Now, the first great problem of the church is that most folks have never come to that place of commitment to Jesus Christ. We're too busy doing our own thing. We're too busy doing our own plans. We're too busy making worldly things. Friends, until you come to the place that you truly desire God's will, you will not grow any more like Jesus Christ until you come to that place. It is impossible to mature as a Christian without being willing to do the will of God. Impossible. Now, let's talk about some practical steps. Some very practical steps. First of all, I think, now there is a lifelong call, a lifelong vocation, but I want to tell you, I have misinterpreted God's will twice in my life. I say misinterpret, I don't know what else to use. The week after I started to preach, I really felt like that God wanted me in Israel as a missionary. I chose a wife based on the criteria that I wouldn't marry anybody that wouldn't be willing to go overseas with me. I began to focus my whole college career and my whole seminary career based on the fact that I wanted to go and felt like God was leading me to go to Israel. I couldn't go to a missions conference without being totally emotionally devastated over that's what I knew God wanted me to do. I still can't go to a missions conference today without just weeping. But the mission board began to say, Bob, you have asthma. We just can't send you. I became infuriated. Who are you, anyway? Tell me I can't go. So after kicking and storming and grunting around there, they said, okay, you can go if your kids don't have asthma. First shot out of the quiver. I thought, Lord, I don't understand. I said, I don't know what I'll do. These people don't understand. I'll just go them on. I'll just go them on. And thank goodness God said, Bob. And when I say God said, you realize I'm not speaking about audible voices. I'm speaking about intuitive feelings. Bob, if I've called you, I'll open the doors. You don't have to kick them down. I don't think God's in the business of calling folks to butt that down doors. I think God's in the business of calling folks and equipping them and opening the doors for them. So Israel was out. Well, what was I to do for 7 years of my life? And I want to tell you today, if an opportunity for me to go to Israel opened up, I would go immediately. But I really don't think it ever will. I began to talk to my friends and loved ones that knew me and were in church with me, and they said, Bob, you know, you've really got a gift of teaching. You ever thought about seminary or college? I said, well, no, but I'll pray about it. So I entered the PhD program at Baylor, seeking the Lord's will And apparently that was a dead end too, because I came to this church instead of finishing my degree there, because I really felt like it was the Lord's will. So there's two times that I've made some mistakes. Maybe I've been looking too far ahead. I don't know, but I know that God's will is lifelong, and God's will is also daily. And all too often we major on the out there, the when, the if, the 10 years, instead of realizing that Jesus said about, give us this day our daily bread. God will lead you day by day. I think good advice to anybody seeking God's will is, be faithful today, and God will take care of tomorrow. Be open and ready today. Deal one day at a time, and God will take care of tomorrow. Now, number two under practical helps is, you need to read the Bible. Most of God's will is in the Bible. Most of it's there. Again, I think that if you do not know your Bible at all, you're a great handicap for God to speak to you. The guy who tells me, God told me this morning, makes me a little nervous. Now, I know that God does speak to us, and I know that God does lead us apart from the Bible, but it's only the second step after you search the Scriptures, and there's some guidelines there. You know, sometimes I feel like that, example, we take a job, and boy, it's a good job. We think it's an answer to prayer. And then 2 weeks later, another job opens up that pays $20,000 more, and suddenly we know it's God's will to take the second job. A little example in this book is, a teacher said she would teach, and then 2 weeks later got a better offer and quit and went somewhere else. And the principal said, she was a fine Christian. She has peace, and I have the pieces. Now, I think there's some guidelines that a Christian, when they commit themselves, have committed themselves. And so I don't think it's ever appropriate, because a better deal comes open, to say, wait a minute here. Number three. Have you ever prayed specifically for God's will? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, my life belongs to you completely, and more than anything in my life, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, what is your will for my life? Have you ever prayed like that? Matthew 7:7-8 says, keep on seeking, present imperatives, habitual lifestyle action commands. Keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It amazes me that we groan and grunt about, I need to know God's will, I got to go God's will, what about God's will? Let me ask you a question. Have you spent 5 minutes a day in praying for God's will? You know, knowing God's will at 12 years old won't last the rest of your life. Are you willing to spend 5 minutes a day to know God's will? Now, if you're not willing to spend 5 minutes in prayer asking God to continue to lead you in His will, I'm not sure you really want to know. I'm sure it's just a little lip service. Now, we need to pray specifically to ask for God's will. Number four, we need to watch for open doors. Now, I think circumstances are a wonderful way that God leads us, but I think we put too much stock in them sometimes. Let me give you an example. When this church called me, I looked all through the New Testament, didn't find Lubbock one time. I found Hot Wind, the Old Testament, didn't find no sand. How was I to know the will of God was to come to Lubbock, Texas? I could not find that in the Bible. God did lead me by opening a door at a very critical time in where I was and who I was. What if God would have opened several doors? I got home from the deacon's training time last night. Peggy said, the public committee from First Baptist Children's called you. I want you to call them back. Now, folks, there's no doubt in my mind that God led me to this church and has led me to help you start a deacon flock ministry. And there's no doubt in my mind I was going to tell that public committee the minute I talked to them. I didn't check their budget. I didn't check their baptism. I didn't check their building. I knew that was not the will of God for my life. I told them no. If every time a door opened and as the church came and said, we think you're God's man for ours, I'd have had 20 churches in 4 years. So it's not always open doors, not always God's will. What do you do? If you've prayed specifically and these other things, what do you do when it comes and more than one door opens? I think the next step is very important here. Well, excuse me, two more steps down. Number five is, You've got to talk to mature Christians that know us. You're the guy who says, I know God's will and God spoke to me. Wait a minute, friend. If God spoke to you, I bet God is speaking to some other folks about you. We need to talk to mature Christian people about what we feel the will of God is and get their feedback. Then, if we talk to mature Christians and we get their feedback, if that door opens up, or say no doors open up, or say five doors open up, which one do you do? If we really believe that God wants to show us His will, He's not reluctant saying, I hope you find it, but He really is searching to let us, help us to understand, then what we need to do is, if we don't see any doors or too many open doors, is we need to say, now Lord, I feel naturally drawn to this. I'm going to go through this door by faith, trusting You that if it's not right, You'll close the door. Now, if we've sincerely sought Him, I think it's faith to say, walk through the door that you have inner pullings toward. Okay, let me go quickly to some pitfalls of knowing God's will. There's eight of them. I'll go through them very quickly. Eight pitfalls. Number one, don't have a false concept of God. If it's something you want to do, don't think that means God doesn't want you to. Ain't that ridiculous? We must break God's heart in the way we think about Him. You know, we think if we want to do this, it must surely not be God's will. God's will is something bizarre and mean and off. Oh, where'd we ever get that? Just because you want to doesn't automatically mean it's not God's will. I like the psalm that says, God's desire is to give you the desire of your heart. I'm not sure that means new Stingray or Cadillac, but I do think that means that God wants to lead you in the way that you want to be led if it's in accordance with His will. Second, don't demand lights and bells. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I knew it was God's will because my fingernails turned blue. I knew it was God's will because goosebumps came all over my body every time I said it. Why do we demand a subjective confirmation to everything? That makes feelings priority. I want to tell you, feelings are not everything in the Christian faith. They're good, they're fine, all of us love feelings, but you can't judge God's will by whether you're tingly or not, or whether you're excited or not. Don't demand a subjective confirmation to God's will. Number three, be guided by your inner light. I just mentioned that. If everything else fails, and you have had a desire to do something, and you've prayed and sought God and talked to your friends and all the rest, and no doors have opened, or several doors have opened, pray about what you're naturally, what your heart is saying to you. Don't use the Bible as a magic book. You know, to get the family Bible out and say, oh Lord, show me. Well, it'll probably fall open to the table of contents, and that'll confuse your works. Can you imagine it falling onto a chronological table or a picture? Friends, the book is not a magic book. You can't sleep on it and get healed, you know. So don't abuse the book like that. The Bible cannot be used in that manner to know the will of God. It just can't. So don't do it that way. I feel like sometimes Christians say, oh, they act so pious and say, oh, we love God and we want to know God's will, so we got the Scrabble thing out and threw it on the kitchen table. And wanted to spell out in a sentence where God wanted us. Friends, God don't send no letters from heaven saying, this is my will for you, signed by the Trinity. It just don't happen. It just doesn't happen. Now, number six, don't expect a smooth, easy road as confirmation of God's will. Matter of fact, just the opposite, I think, is true. If things are going so smooth and wonderful, maybe it isn't God's will. Because I found from the book that when you're doing the will of God, the world's going to hate you. And going to be persecuted. The will of God. Matter of fact, most of the folks I know that come to Jesus Christ, it seems like the roof caves in on their lives. You can't know the will of God by how easy it's going. Number seven. Don't feel like or demand that once knowing God's will, it can't ever change. I just told you God's will for my life changed at least three times. I am a gifted minister. Whatever I do, I'm going to be a gifted minister. But you know what? You are a gifted minister also. Now, you may not be behind a pulpit, and you may not be pastor of a church, but every one of us are gifted, and every one of us are ministers. It's called the priesthood of the believer. So, sometimes God's will does change. Second, don't feel like, seventh, don't feel like that denying God's will one time takes you out of the will of God forever. Look at Peter. Look at the Bible figures. Did denying God's will remove them from God to be able to ever use them again? When we deny God's will, it may cut off something that God wanted for us. But the minute we are willing to say yes, God is willing to open up another plan and usefulness for us. Saying no to God's will does not remove you out of God's plan forever. Finally, I feel like don't get locked in. So at 12 years old, I felt like God made me to be a fireman, and that means I got to be a fireman the rest of my life. No. Now, I have a little time left, and I need to share with you personally how my own life fits into this. I have been in extremely intense struggle now for several years. It began back at Sagamore Hills when I began to be let, they allowed me to teach on Wednesday night. And I began to feel more and more confident that God's will for my life was teaching, but teaching laymen, verse by verse, how to interpret the Bible for themselves and not be locked into a pastor figure or parental influence or denominational perspective or some charismatic person. By that I mean a powerful personality. And God just continued to confirm to my heart. That's why when I came here, I began teaching the New Testament Sunday night, teaching the Old Testament Wednesday night. I felt like it was God's will that I began to do commentary to help laymen know the technical point, but put it in their language. Many of you are businessmen. If you talk to me, now I was talking to Jim Blagg the other day. He said, that is a kinetic structure of politics. Terrific. I didn't know what he was talking about. Now, that's what theologians do to most church people. They put it in their vernacular, their technical terms, and then you feel left out. I feel like that listening to a lawyer. You ever go to a lawyer's office? The employee, the employette, and the party of the second, third, fourth part? That's above me. I need a lawyer to tell me or a doctor to tell me what's the matter with me. Now, don't tell me a clathrosynthesis in pulpit. Just tell me, fellow, what's wrong with my body? And that's what the church needs for people to know the Bible. Not impress a bunch of theologians. Know the Bible. Now, I've really been impressed with that. And I've written several commentaries. I think I have 15 books finished. And I began 2 years ago. The first one was finished. I began to mail it out to publishers. I've mailed that thing to every publisher I know. And I've gotten stuff like, good book, but we don't do commentaries. Wonderful, but we already have one going. Tremendous. Write this guy over here. Terribly frustrating. I just did not understand how God could continue to tell me this is His will for my life, and it continued to be thwarted. It's becoming more and more intense with me as the years go by to continue to feel just what God wants and continue to not be able to get it out. I have agonized and prayed over this so many times. It continued to come back. It would be gone a while and it would come back. I shared with you a few months ago that I had a terrible weekend about struggling with something. This is exactly what it is. I did not know what to do. This is going to sound egotistical, and I'm sorry if it does to you. Those of you who know me, I hope will know it's not. I feel like that God has given me a message for America. In our day, so many people are talking about, oh, how we love the Bible, oh, how we love the Bible, and they are even abusing the Bible terribly. They allegorize it, they spiritualize it, they rip it out of context. I want to tell you, if United States Protestantism does not return to the Bible alone, not as a cliche, but as a methodology, we are going back into the dark ages. For some teachers say, oh, I've just prayed about this and God showed me this. Friend, God does not show anybody anything apart from this book historically and grammatically interpreted first. And we have people screaming everything, oh, how I love the Bible, and they give you their opinion. I really feel like that God has put on my heart, and I know it sounds grandiose to you and it just wiped me out, that's why I've been struggling with it. God has a place for me larger than one local church. I will always have to have, because of who I am, a local church. I am a pastor. But I also need a wider expression to who I am as a teacher. I was so willing to do anything to get through with this struggle on what does God want for my life. When I preach a sermon on predestination versus free will and security of the believer versus the perseverance of the saint, it really clicked with me. Bob, this is something that you have never read anywhere. I have a unique God-given, not deserved, God-given ability to take the Bible and try to deal with all aspects seriously without polarizing to one extreme or the other. That is extremely unique teaching that you can't buy in a theology book on the idea of doctrine in pairs. And I thought, Lord, I'm ready to quit, resign the church, and I'm ready to write. I'm ready to do anything you want for me to, Lord, if you'll just show me. Now, I love this church. I have no plans on going anywhere or anything like that. But I have simply got to have a wider expression of who I am. And as I agonized over that, this ego trip, what is this? As I agonized and called five people and said, look, pray for me. I'm in a struggle. I don't know what to do. Pray for me. And as those men prayed for me, and as I began to keep wrestling with this, a real peace came to my heart over, and something I hadn't even thought about. I'd been trying to get the commentaries published, and it really came so clearly and so peaceably and so almost intact. Expand the International Sunday School lesson on radio across the United States. Now, folks, I really feel like that's what God wants me to do. I have prayed about it and prayed about it, and I am convinced in my heart that that is what God's will for my life is. I formed a nonprofit corporation. Some men in this church are on the board. Harold Harris, David Whitmire, John Carroll, T.O. Macon. I needed them to help me so that my vision wouldn't be beyond practicality. You say, Bob, why don't you let the church do it? If I link this to a Baptist church, number one, I'm going to cut off huge sections of people who would never come hear a Baptist preacher that might come hear the host of the International Sunday School lesson. Number two, I don't know how long I'll be here. I hope under God it's a long time, but I won't be here 40 years probably. And I know this is God's will for my life from now on, so I can't link it to you only. This will have no effect on me being your pastor. I already study for the lesson. It'll simply be expanding it. I hope to go into every one of these cities at least twice a year on Friday night and Saturday morning to teach laymen how to interpret the Bible for themselves. I have the first seminar here in Lubbock, Texas on May 2nd and 3rd at the Hilton Inn. You say, Bob, why don't you feel like the church needs to vote on this? All I can do is share my heart with you. I have come to the place that I know this is God's will for my life. I will not take any time away from being a full-time pastor here. But my friends, I can't let you vote on God's will for my life. I just can't. As much as I love you, as much as I want to be here, if this is something that's unpleasing to the majority of you, I will have to resign. I can't go in the face of what I feel like so strongly is God's will. And I hope you will understand. And I must say that I need to even ask something beyond that. I need your prayers desperately, and I need your help. I need you to pray that if it's not God's will, he'll slam the door, and boy, that's what I want. Oh, that's what I want. But if it is God's will, and you know me, I need your prayerful help, and I need your financial help. Dave, would you pass those things out for me? I wouldn't for the minute ever take any of the support of this church. God forbid that would ever happen, or any support from any other Christian group you're supporting. But I want to ask you to pray about it and seek what God's will for your life in this area might be. I have started a separate mailing list, not the one we usually send out, because I do not want to take any of the support that's coming for our radio and television ministry right now to help this church pay for it. I have not touched that mailing list and will not. But I'm trying to develop a separate mailing list for people who will help me. I want to tell you, we have got to get the message out. Seattle, Washington, Sacramento, California, Pensacola, Florida, Miami, Florida has said, yes, we'll sell you the time. I've only contacted one-third of FM easy listening radio stations. I do not want to be on a Christian station because I have a gift of reaching intellectuals or people who have been turned off by the church. And I won't find them on a Christian radio station. I'll find them on an easy listening station where nobody's expecting the Word of God to be. And I'll get them with that casual manner but detailed exegesis. But just those four stations, just those four, are $1,000 a week. You say, Bob, that's staggering. You don't think that's staggering? My heart. I wouldn't enter this thing any way in the world if I didn't feel like it was the will of God that I have struggled with. And now I ask you, in your love for me and respect for me, to pray about this and to pray for me. All that I want to do in my life is do the will of God and lift up Jesus Christ. We're not taking any salaries from nobody. We have volunteer secretarial help for this. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to depend on our resources, but we depend on you and your resources. God, I pray if this whole thing is not in accordance with your will, that you would quickly shut the door so I would understand. I pray for others here who are struggling with God's will for their lives in so many areas. And, oh, Lord, I pray today has been helpful to them. Lord, I thank you for the struggle I've been through because I know it's drawn me closer to you. It was terribly unpleasant, but I thank you for dealing in my life. And I thank you for caring about me and about everyone that's here. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you, that today they might trust you, that they might be equipped to do your will in this world. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for its love and acceptance and vision. And help us, I pray, O Lord, as we hopefully walk together into the 80s, that we might lift you up and draw men unto you and help those who already know you become mature and complete in your will. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.